Well, we're going to continue what I kind of started preaching on last Sunday, which was, what should I do with my life? Now, last week we said one of the things the Lord told us to do was pick up our cross, to take our cross. Now, a lot of people believe that, you know, when we talk about taking up your cross, everybody goes to the mentality of what Jesus did, his physical actions. And I mean, he went through brutal pain. So in our mind, we think taking up the cross is brutal pain. And can I tell you, it can be painful at times, but you will never go through what Jesus went through. So get that picture out of your mind when it comes to taking up your own cross. Can I tell you, we kind of said it this way. You know, there's some things that we are good at. I told you this. I had a full paid scholarship to an art school. I enjoyed art. I loved painting. I loved drawing. It was a way for me to disconnect. When I got into painting, I didn't think about anything else. Right. I didn't think about what the world was going on. You know, it was my way of being creative, being able to plug in and be able to let loose of everything around me. Some people sit in front of a TV. Some people run. Whatever way you disconnect, for me, it was drawing. It was painting. And I had a collection of things and I enjoyed it. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And so a part of me really wanted to go to school for art, especially when I applied and got a full scholarship, a full ride. I wanted to do it. But guess what happened? There was a knowing on the inside of me. I was not created on this earth to be Picasso or Rembrandt, depending on what level we're at. That was not who and what I was called to do. I was called to be in the ministry. I was called to preach the gospel. And so taking up my cross was not doing something that gave me great pleasure, but to put up my cross and go a different route. Can I tell you this, though? Preaching is one of the greatest things I enjoy doing. And I stepped into it by following what the leading of the Lord was. I would have never known this great joy if it would not have been being led by the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. So taking up your cross does not mean that it will be painful. What it may say is, I will have to go a different route because I know I kind of want to go this route over here, but this route is not where the Lord is leading me. This is the route the Lord is leading me. So your cross is saying, this is great, this is fun, this is kind of the way I want to go, but I'm going to take up my cross and I'm going to follow Christ. Yeah. You say no to some things and say yes to your relationship with the Lord and the way the Lord's leading you. Now, I want to give you a hint here. Sometimes you'll go through rejection because of your stance with Christ. The world will not understand your stance with Christ. They actually may take it offensive sometimes and say, well, who are you that you would put yourself up on such a pedestal? Well, first of all, it's not us at all. It is the Lord who has placed us in the position that we are meant to stand in. We are all the body of Christ. And can the toe say, I shouldn't even be a part of the body. What good do I do? You find corners in the darkness and let us know to stop. There, you can never judge, never look at what you're called to do and say, well, it's not as great. No, what you're called to do is great. It is amazing. And if you do what you're called to do and you stand in your place, you cause the body to function. Have you ever had a part of your body you didn't even know existed not function the way it should? A shoulder, a muscle, a nerve. When it doesn't function, the body knows it quickly. Can I tell you, I threw my shoulder out as a teenager. And we won't go into the story. It's funny, though. It is a funny story, but we're not going to go into it. But I threw my shoulder out, and it was bothering me that day, and then I went to bed, and that night, I couldn't move it. I mean, literally to move, I'd have to put my hand and move it, and then something else it started doing. My head would tilt this way, and I physically could not move my head up. I'd have to put my hand up, push my head straight, hold it straight, and concentrate. The moment I didn't concentrate on it, I found that my head was back that way. And what did I need? A chiropractor. And I got adjusted, and everything was wonderful. And every once in a while, it tries to act up, but we don't go there.
Right.
All right? And we take care of our bodies, right? We've already talked about that. But the thing about it is one little problem. You know what it was?
It was a small muscle that I threw out. I ripped. And then, you know what happens? These little balls of stress build up on your back. Little knots build up in other places because acid is released when that happens. And that acid has nowhere to go and it knots up. And so the chiropractor had this little tool that they would bust those knots up. And so what happens in the body is a lot of times we say, well, we're just a little bitty muscle. We're not that special. We don't do anything important. We don't stand up. We're not loud. You know, other people have positions. We're not in that position. Oh, you're in a powerful position. It is powerful. Because without you, you don't even know the ripples
right. That's right.
of what happens when you're not in your place.
That's right. That's good.
Hello? And so if you've ever had to go to the chiropractor, you understand
yep.
when something, some small little thing is out of place, how it can affect the whole body.
That's good.
That goes for your local body.
That's right.
That goes for the whole church as a whole in the whole nation. That goes worldwide. We need everyone in their position. Look at your neighbor and say, in your position.
In your position.
And so, you know, I love this. How many of you enjoy your phones? I love my phone. Some of you may be unbelievably connected to your phones. You can't go a day without it. I'm actually very proud of myself. I left my phone one time at home, and I just left it the whole day. The whole day. It didn't bother me at all. I had a little bit of, you know, like, oh my gosh. But I was good. Because sometimes if I've left my phone, I'll turn right around. I'll be late for work. I'm the boss. That's all right. I'll turn around. I'll go get my phone. Who's going to yell at me?
Yeah.
Be like, Annette doesn't come in until about 11, so I'm good. I'm good. She's not going to yell at me for being late. So, you know, sometimes we're addicted to our phone. You know how many apps are in the OS app department, the Apple app department? 1.5 million apps.
Wow.
As of July. 1.5 million. You can't even put that much on the phone. You know how much memory you would need for that? That's amazing. In the Android market, it is 1.6 million apps. That's a lot of apps. Now, have you ever had somebody in your family that was late to the party on smartphones?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My mama was a little late to the party. And then my dad was very late to the party. But I remember my mom, when she first got it, she's like, all I want is a phone. And I'm trying to get her to upgrade because I want her to have good things. And I'm like, Mom, we got to get you a better phone, one that has GPS on it. I mean, it will tell you where to go. You just pick it up and say, take me to the supermarket, closest gas station, and it will take you. But, you know, I know where all the gas stations are. Well, what if you're in a place that you don't know? They're like, oh, I'm good. She had this little flip phone that all it did was call, and I think it had that snake game on it. That was it. It had about as much capability as just a calculator. I mean, it was nothing. And it flipped and it lit up and even the front of it was busted. I mean, it was just, I'm fine. So I finally talked her into it and she got a smartphone. And at the beginning, she called me. I was like, I don't know how to do this. I'm like, well, are you on your phone? Yeah, call me from another phone. I'll walk you through it. And so we'd go through the thing. And then she figured out she could text. Oh, my Lord. We got text messages all the time, and then the misspelled words sometimes because she was getting used to it wonderful, made me laugh hysterically. And then she found about, what is that called? Is it MMS or MSS, whatever, the picture where you send pictures to each other. I got pictures of everything. I mean, she wasn't even into Facebook at this time. I mean, I got pictures of her food. I got pictures of her smiling. I got pictures of her hair up, her hair down. I got pictures of her grandkids. I got pictures of my nieces and nephews. I got pictures of the sunset. I got pictures of the bridge. I got pictures of birds that were on the beach. I mean, just got pictures of everything. And then she found out that you could FaceTime. I'm going to tell you, she doesn't even call me on the phone anymore. Every time she calls me, it's FaceTime. It is video face. I mean, we talk video. She just, if she's calling me, it is over the video. And then she loves the phone. She Googles everything now. She's got all this capability. But in the beginning, when she first got her smartphone, you know, those old phones that didn't do much, didn't need a whole lot of battery to do anything. So they would last 3 to 5, 6 days without a charge. So I would call her and it would go straight to voicemail. So then I'd call her business, or call the home, no matter what time of the day it was, wherever she was, I kind of know her schedule. And she would answer, I'd be like, Mom, called you, went straight to voicemail. What's wrong with your phone? Oh, it's dead. Did you charge it last night? No. Well, of course, it's going to be dead, Mom. You got to plug it in every day. And sometimes, some of you, multiple times a day. You got to plug that thing in. You're so dependent on it. You use it so much. You're charging it in the car. You're charging it at your office. Doesn't matter where you go. Now they have backpacks with solar power on them, solar panels. And then you can plug your phone up, slide it in the pocket so you're walking and it's charging. And I can't say much because I have a solar panel. So when I go camping and it charges AA batteries and then you plug it in at night and it charges your phone through the night. Hey, I was in bear country. I needed a phone. All right? Don't mock me. We went camping. It was way out in the middle of nowhere. But we were in bear country, so I had a solar panel to plug in and charge a battery. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can have 1.6 million apps, and if it's not charged, it doesn't matter how many apps you have. It ain't going to do nothing for you. How does this apply to the body of Christ? Let's turn in our Bibles this morning. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've got to be charged and ready to go.
Amen.
And some people come in the body of Christ and all the app they want to download is salvation. I just need to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I know that there is a hell. I need to be saved. I want to go to heaven. And all they ever do is download salvation. Enter your password, and it downloads. And guess what? There are no other charges in the app. If you have kids, you'll realize sometimes if you don't put a password on there, you'll have a big bill at the end because they didn't realize that you charge for everything. And in the game apps, all that kind of stuff. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4 and 13, and then we're going to jump to 16. We have in the same spirit of faith, according to as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore speak. And therefore speak. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Look at your neighbor and say, faint not. But through our outward man may perish. In other words, we get old. And we look good doing it.
There you go.
Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In the Word of God, you've got a lot of promises, and all those promises are in Him, yes, and they are in Him, amen. What does that mean? That means every promise God says you can have, you can have it. But guess what? You got to download it. Guess what? You got to stay charged. And Paul tells us it's renewed day by day. Not quarterly, not monthly, not every week, but we've got to stay charged day by day. You need to do things that charge you up. Now, there's things you need to do to your body to charge you up. There's things you need to do. You know, some of you, you've got it where your coffee machine is set on a timer. You wake up to the smell of coffee. Can I tell you something? I had an alarm clock, and I've never been able to find it again. It broke, and I've never been able. And I don't want it, so please, if you find it, don't ever get it for me and bring it to me. I don't want it anymore. It's fine. I'm good where I am. But it was an alarm clock that had this bulb. You know how that children's bacon toy works off of those bulbs? It was kind of the same thing, but over top of it, you could put anything you want. You could put bacon. Guess what I put on it? Bacon. But so then when it lights up, it fills the room with light. So you wake up to light, and then you wake up to smell. So you could put oils, essential oils in there, and wake up to a certain smell. But you can have bacon, and it would be cooked from that light. And your whole room would smell like bacon. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. Where was I going? I got lost. We said bacon. And so in all of this, you know, there are some things that you preset to charge yourself to. Something that energizes you. What energizes me may never energize you. And so I don't judge what you may enjoy doing. You may enjoy decorating. You may enjoy painting. You may enjoy running. You are sick and need help.
You may enjoy working out. I've had people that like, oh, when I work out, the endorphins. Oh, I just want to conquer the world. Oh, yeah, they feel the burn. This pain is great. No, I want, if there was a workout, if I ever did a workout video, I'd be like, this is horrible. I hate this. I have never worked out and at the end said, oh, I feel great. You know what I want after every workout? I want a nap in a bag of Doritos in a Coca-Cola. That is what I want after every workout because I am exhausted. I hate it. And they call it a burn for a reason. If it didn't, you know, if it wasn't painful, they'd, oh, feel the incitement or joy. I don't know what they would call it. They'd come up with a better name. But they call it a burn because it doesn't feel good. It never feels good. But I understand you're in a place. I'm not judging your kind of I am. But for you, it may work for you. But I do these things not because it makes me feel better, but I know that it's what I need to do in the long run to stay where I need to be. Oh, that's part of picking up my cross. Picking up my cross. All right. But so we've got to be charged every day. We need to charge ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, you need to do things to yourself, your own physical body, every day. There's things you need to do. There's things you need to do physically to your body every day. And there's things you need to do physically to your body every day that we just appreciate. Brushing your teeth. Putting on deodorant. Those are things that we, you know, the body of Christ. We appreciate you coming to church and doing all those things before you get here. Amen. But there are things you need to do spiritually every day. Amen. There's scriptures you need to focus on. There's confessions that you need to say. Yes. There's a positive thinking about the body of Christ that you need to be in a process of thinking to change your life for the better. You can stay as what, I forget, Eeyore, right? Eeyore, the depressive. Like, always me. Everything always happens to me. That's not a good ear voice, but it's about what you're going to get. Everything, always, there's body people in the body of Christ. Life is just horrible. I hate all of this. Have you, I don't know, there's some inside out, that cartoon where things are in your head, that whole little depressed girl. Oh, I'm so sorry. And if you focus on that, that's what your life is going to be. It's going to be depressed. And I'm not telling you that you, if you are clinically depressed and somebody's got you, I'm not telling you get off your medicine and just change your mindset, but start changing your mindset now. It'll help everything. And you need to believe God that you're going to be completely whole, that one day you can walk away from it and walk the walk of God and He'll lead you out of it. But for you that are not clinically depressed, start changing your mentality. You don't like life? Guess what? No one's going to change it for you. You're going to have to change it yourself. Well, I have to get up and do something. Yes! Yes, you're going to have to get up and do something. You might have to stop eating Cheetos at midnight. You might have to start going to bed at a decent hour. You might have to actually put a phone down before you go to bed so you can go to sleep. So you're not sitting in bed for 5 hours reading emails. I don't know what it is for you, but something's got to change. You got to do something you've never done to get something you've never had. If it's not operating in your life, something's got to change. And the change needs to start with you. So you're going to have to charge yourself up spiritually. You're going to have to be ready to go. You're going to need energy. You're going to be able to need the energy to do what God has called you to do. You can have all the promises that are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. And if you are dead, not charged up, those promises aren't going to help you at all. I'm not saying you're not going to get to heaven. I've downloaded the app. Just because the phone is dead doesn't mean the apps are not there.
That's right.
The salvation's there. Some of us actually need to charge the phone and actually walk in the salvation. I ain't talking about y'all. I'm talking about the other churches. Some of us need to open it up. We need to download joy.
There you go.
Yep. Some of you need to practice joy. Just like you're getting ready to run and you stretch. Some people, I think when they stretch, it's just fun. It's a show for them. They enjoy it. I don't know. It's weird. Some people stretch. They're weird. I'm not going to go into it because it looks ridiculous. It looks ridiculous. And then don't stretch in public with spandex. That's just ridiculous. Do your stretching before you get outside. But if you're going to run, there's some people that got to stretch. So there's some things in the body of Christ you need to practice before you get out. You need to look in the mirror sometimes and smile. It's ridiculous, Pastor. I feel like a fool. Well, would you rather feel like a fool for a little while or would you rather go back to being depressed and unhappy? Something, you run on a treadmill. Well, start running in joy. Some things you're just going to have to put on your face. May look unreal for a while. It may look fake for a while. It may look ridiculous for a while. But sooner or later, it becomes a way of life.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to sit in the mirror and smile anymore. You don't have to take notice. Some people have such a look on them that they if they start to change it, they notice it all the time. And so they have to change it, and then they forget about it. Like my head when, I went to the chiropractor, got to push it up, then forget about it. It's back down. And I have to do that for a while until things get to operating right. And then all of a sudden it's just natural. It's normal. Too many people spiritually look like this. Their head's all out of whack because something's out of whack in their spiritual life. All they need is adjustment. All they need to do is look in the mirror of the Word of God and adjust something. And start walking in the promises that are yes and amen. And as they adjust it, all of a sudden, they don't have to think about it anymore. It's just working. It's operating. And so, my phone every once in a while warns me. Says, oh, such and such app is working in the background. You can go into your settings and cut it off. It actually knows your location. My to-do list knows my location. And I can put in a to-do list based on where I'm at. At work, I can have it so that I drive to work, that my to-do list pops up on my phone and says, hey, you got these things to do because you're in this location. And I can have it to my home, put it as my home address. So when I get home, it pops up and says, hey, you got this stuff to do.
Amen.
I got an app that will tell me based on my location. And so it says, it's operating in the background. You don't even know. It's just operating in the background. There are promises that are in Him, yes, in the way that God has called you to be, that will operate in the background once you get used to it. You don't even need to think about it anymore. In the beginning, you might have to think about it all the time. But now, all of a sudden, it's just operating in the background. Look at your neighbor and say, stay charged. And so we have got to stay charged to operate in the promises that are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. You're already there, 4, and let's go to 18. We're going to read that in just a minute. A lot of prayers for people are about outward things. Now, Paul, when he prayed about a lot of inward things. Because when the inward man is healthy, all the outward stuff can be taken care of. And some people like to pray, and they go to the Lord and they pray like this. Lord, that Powerball. I have never heard so much stuff about Powerball in all my life. People talk about the Powerball. Pastor, did you buy tickets? No. I don't even know where you buy the tickets. Someone said a gas station. I'm like, I don't even go inside. I just swipe my card on the outside. And so some people pray, Lord, that Powerball looks awfully good. Help me, Jesus. What numbers should I have? They pick up dice. Father, lead the dice. What number appears? Snake eyes, 11, Lord. They're praying. Father, I want money. Lots and lots of money. Lord, I want to be rich. Thank you. Somebody got it. So their prayer goes like that. Their prayer, some people's prayer, is like, Lord, my children. I heard one child say this, I never asked to be born. And the father responded, you're right, because if you would have, I would have said no. That's horrible. It's horribly funny, but it's still horrible. If we had the choice of where we were born, some of us would have negotiated a little better. Some of us would have negotiated for better families, families that had trust funds. And maybe we would have, negotiated about where hair would have been, maybe more up here and less down here. There's some things we probably would have negotiated, but none of us asked to be born. But the thing is, we're here. We have a purpose. We have a call. We have a destiny. And it's vital that we accomplish it. What should I do with my life is a question that has plagued mankind.
Amen.
For such a long time. But one, we know we should pick up our cross. And two, what we should do with our life is we should charge it. Charge your life. Oh, my goodness. We must stay charged up. Look at your neighbor and stay charged up.
2 Corinthians 4 and 18. Are you ready? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen.
If you're looking at all the circumstances, you're looking at the wrong thing. God is trying to get your focus in order. Like, don't look at just everything's going on around you. And then if you did look, all the information's messed up anyway. You'll hear 50 million different responses. The polar caps are melting. No, yeah, they're melting on this side, but they're growing on the other side. Then you'll hear people say, well, this is happening. All the polar bears are going to die by 2050. Did you know that? Then last year, every polar bear died.
Yep.
Oh, no.
If you would have listened to certain information that was out there. That we must act before 2000. And I'm not saying we should take care of the world. I think we should be responsible with the things God has given us. But if you listen to all the information out there, you won't know what to believe. Some scientists say we're going for we're going to freeze. We're going to another ice age. And then the others say, no, we're going to burn up. And then others say, we're going to experience both. One day you're going to freeze, one day you're going to burn. So have your swimming suit and your jacket packed. Never put them away. No more seasons. No more seasons. Just keep all your clothes out. And a lot of sunblock. You don't know which one you're going to need. And so if you listen to all the information, you're not going to know exactly what's going on. And you'll believe something. You know, we should challenge some of our belief systems, not only spiritually, but naturally all the time.
Right.
And get the word on the inside of us about it. And if we look at what the world is yelling about, it can distract us.
Yes.
It can get us off course. It can take us off of our destiny. It can take us off of all the apps that are going on that God has for us, all the destiny that the Lord has for us, and cause us to be drained. You know, there's some apps that do nothing but drain your battery. You never use it. Stays working in the background. It drains your battery. If you focus on everything around you, it'll drain your battery. Can I say this too? There may be people in the body of Christ that if you focus on them, it will drain your battery. It'll drain your battery.
And so we must not look at the things that just are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They don't last forever. But the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to tell you something. Faith enables you to maintain an eternal perspective.
When you're running your race, it can cause you to stay steady when other people stop, when other people stumble, when other people get off their course. When you stay focused on the Lord, when you stay charged up in the body of Christ, when other people fall and falter, when other people get off on whatever move is going on, everybody's worried about what move is happening. How about you just keep moving with the Lord?
Come on.
And He'll keep you right where you need to be. And I've heard people, everything that comes along, this is the last thing before Jesus comes. Word of faith, this is the last move, word of faith. It's the last move. We're in a grace move right now. Which is a wave. And God is teaching us about grace. And people say, this is the last thing that's going to happen. We're going to learn about grace. And then we're going to go. I thought if we would have listened to everybody in the body of Christ, 2016 wouldn't have made it. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to go this fall. Did any of you hear that? We're supposed to go. Well, we're not led by everybody else. We stay focused on the Lord. And see, what happens sometimes is people get built up on these moves. And when it doesn't happen exactly the way they thought, and it didn't take care of everything, we still have to work on ourselves. Why do I have to still work on myself? Why do I have to still plug in? This was supposed to be it. This was supposed to be it. And we're disappointed. And we go to the wayside. And we sit down for a little bit to catch our breath. Because this wave was supposed to be the last one. I'm not supposed to work on these things anymore. I finally got the word of faith message. Now I'm getting the grace message. And I'm getting the next thing. Why do I have to keep working on myself? Because we have to plug in every day. We have to recharge every day. But you better put people in your life, like Mr. Ryan here, that will help recharge you. Who doesn't drain you, but helps recharge you. Iron sharpens iron. People in the body of Christ. Look around. Look around this church. Turn your head around if you have to. If you're kind of, you know, you can do that. These are the people that will charge you. How many of you are in life groups? Raise your hands. Don't be ashamed. That will charge you. Get in a life group. You need to be hanging out with these people. They'll charge you up. Go to lunch with these people. Go to coffee with these people.
That's right.
You need to have your own camp. The Bible says when the disciples were tempted greatly, when they were treated harshly, when their batteries were drained, they went to their own company. This is your company. We are here to encourage, to lift up, to build up, to have righteousness, redemption, and what? Relationships. That's what we're here for.
So get plugged in.
I don't know why I'm so discouraged. Have you done everything? Have you charged yourself? Are you going to church on a regular basis?
Right.
Not once a month, but are you going every week? I understand that sometimes you can't. You're working, whatever. But, you know, everything you can do. Are you going to a life group? Get plugged in. There's a reason they call it plugged in.
Because you need to be charged.
Let's look what a spirit of faith is real quick. We talked about the spirit of faith here. People can tell a lot about your attitude. Where you are, where you're sitting. Can I tell you something? Y'all are not going to be very proud of me on this, but I'm very proud of me. When Jesse cooks broccoli and carrots and I don't know what else. They're yellow carrots. That is ungodly. There should not be yellow carrots. That is ungodly. There's purple carrots. Mm-mm. Carrots are not Skittles. They should not come in several different colors. They are orange, and that's the way they come. So anyway, she cooks this medley of vegetables. I'll tell you, 5 years ago, I wouldn't even think about a piece of broccoli. You feel my pain, or are you just laughing at me? I don't know which one. I was with President Bush. No more broccoli. Not in this place. Didn't he announce that in the White House? No more broccoli. Broccoli's disgusting. Now, I can't say that out loud because my girls love broccoli. And I want to encourage them to eat it because I know it's good for them. It has chlorophyll in it. Chlorophyll. Do you realize chlorophyll is the only thing besides fasting that purifies your blood? Fasting purifies the blood. Chlorophyll purifies the blood. Chlorophyll only comes from green vegetables. That's disgusting. Why it's so good, Lord. You want to know how to make broccoli good? Put butter on it. Put a bunch of cheese on it. Put everything else on it you can. Now, can I just tell you this? I know that I should be eating more greens. So you know what I do? I make myself eat broccoli. Last week, whatever it was that she cooked, I had one whole piece of broccoli. You know what that's called? Improvement. That is called, and it didn't have no cheese on it. It wasn't dipped in anything. It was just broccoli that was cooked. And can I tell you something? When I ate it, my face told you what I thought about it. And it was little bites, but I ate the whole cotton picking thing.
Not the very end.
Not the very end. That part was hard. It was weird. And it was tiny. Give me some credit here. But I'm going to tell you this. For you, that is not a victory. For you, it's funny. It's ridiculous. But for me, that is a victory. I hated everything that was green except for Skittles and fruit roll-ups. I didn't eat green things. The only reason you should even think about a salad is if your steak was not cooked yet. That was the only reason to have a salad was the steak wasn't done. But I have changed some things because I know I have to have them. And I'm going to tell you something. For me, it's very slow. I know how I work and operate. If I go wholeheartedly in it, I'll wear myself out, hate what I'm doing, and then not do it. I'll tell you, exercise, running, if I start running and I run 5 miles, I can run 5 miles in a day. I absolutely could. But because I haven't done it in such a long time, my body would feel it the next day. It would feel it the next day. And so what I have to start doing, you'll mock this maybe, but I will run for 5 minutes. And then I might do that 3 times a week. And then the next week, I might go to 10. But for me, it's a process. I know how I operate. I have to start adding things slowly so that I get to the end result that I'm looking for. You may be able to jump wholeheartedly into it. You know you better than I know you. So we have to start charging ourselves. If we want different results in our body, if we want different results in our spirit, we have got to start changing now. And it may be a little thing. Don't you mock little things. The Bible says, don't mock small beginnings. Don't mock them. They lead to great things. God says, you have been faithful in the little. I will make you ruler over much. There will be a day I'll eat 2 pieces of broccoli. And then there will come a day that it's just operating in the background. Oh, broccoli. I'll eat it. Eliana will grab raw broccoli and just eat it. She loves it. She loves it. She gets it from her mama. She loves it. But you know what? Her mom only stuck that in front of her face. And she had no other options. It's starve or eat broccoli. I tell you, I would probably, if you did that to me, I'd probably eat broccoli. I'd probably hate you. But I would probably start eating broccoli. All right, we're ending with this scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. But you could tell a lot. When I ate that broccoli, you could tell I wasn't happy about it. A lot of us need an attitude change. A lot of us need to change because if something's going on the inside, it'll work its way out. You can only hide it for so long. You may feel like you're a great person at hiding things. You may put a smile on. You may be like a clown that paints the face off and then at the end of the day takes it all off and you know, you're putting life up that isn't there. But eventually that will come out. It will come out. So we're going to have to change things now so that we're at the level and we're charged and we're ready to go. And we're operating in all the promises of God. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. Can you pop that up for me? Attitudes come across in your voice, the way you walk. And can I tell you this? Attitudes are contagious. They are contagious. Let's see David here. King David. And David was greatly distressed. Anyone ever, been in the same place David was? Now let's see if you were in this place. For the people spoke of stoning him. And we're not talking about Colorado. We're talking about Jerusalem. They wanted to kill him. And they wanted it to be painful. Because the soul of all of the people was grieved. Every man for his own son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now I know you face problems. And maybe you have had someone want to kill you. And maybe they tried. I don't know. But we have a whole bunch of people after David wanting to stone him to death. And David had the ability to encourage himself in God. I want to tell you something. That ability was not special for David. It's on the inside of every one of you as well. We can be facing some bad things, but I don't think we faced as much as David did. Maybe you have. But even if you have 250 people wanting to take you out, you can still encourage yourself in the Lord. You can still lift yourself up. Well, how do I do that? Well, one, we take the abilities, the apps, if you want to call them that, and download them in our soul. We speak in tongues. The Bible says that we build ourselves up in our most holy faith. That word, it actually says edify yourself. The word edify says when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. The word edify comes out of the Greek. It means to charge. Yes. It means literally to charge as in a battery. Charging yourself. That's one way. That's one way. One, you can quote the word. Two, you can remind yourself how faithful God has already been to you. We are so interesting as a creation and as a people. It's almost like when we get in a problem, this is the worst thing we've ever faced. We're going to die. The boat is going to capsize. We're all going to drown. We're all so focused on this problem, we're not going to make it out of this one.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We're not. What? I forgot the junkyard. What is it? I forgot. What? Who did he yell to?
Wheezy.
Wheezy. I'm coming, Wheezy. I'm coming. He always liked, he had a heart attack. This was the one. This was what's going to kill him. This is going to take him out every time. But he never died.
Right.
He always made it through.
Yeah.
And as people, sometimes that's our response. We're not going to make this one. This is going to take us out financially. We're going to lose everything. And maybe you did lose everything. There were people. But guess what? They made it out. They're still living. They're moving forward. Encourage yourself in the Lord. He's been faithful every time to deliver me out of the problem I was in. He didn't bring me this far to leave me. God didn't build me up so I could have a bigger fall. God brought me to this point so I could be victorious in all things. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will go above and not beneath. Yes. I will be victorious. Yes. Yes. We are the mighty women and men of valor.
Yes. Amen.
We will be victorious in all things.
Yes.
We meditate on God's word. We remind ourselves of his goodness. We quote his word. I'm telling you. We believe, therefore we speak. Your mind may be fighting you when you speak it. Speak it anyway.
That's right.
Your mind is not who you are. Your soul is. Your mind may fight you on things you know to be true. You know you got a path before you. You know this is the race. You know this is the way you're supposed to go. And sometimes your mind is fighting you. You keep on moving forward. The only way for a Christian to quit or be defeated is for a Christian to give up. I'm going to tell you this. I haven't said this one in a while. If I wasn't saved, you know what I would do?
Get saved.
It is the only life to live.